Friends, I'm turning to Proverbs chapter 1. And I'll read from verse 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the understanding, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Friends, my title for this evening is Leading Effective Christian Life. How to lead an effective Christian life. I remember one person asked me one day, so after salvation, what next? He asked me that after you have been saved, what next? And the argument he was putting up with me is that the Bible leads you to salvation. After salvation, that you need something extra apart from the Bible to go on in life. And this is the belief of so many people. And that's why they are being deceived. They think they need extra biblical instructions to be able to lead a Christian life or to fight the devil. That is why you see people telling them about so many steps to do this and to do that and to do that. And that is a lie. The Bible, according to Timothy, is complete, well equipped for everything that we need to live in this world. So after you are being saved, you know you'll be going through sanctification. And there are a lot of things that you must know, and the Bible provides all of them. Every situation that we go into, the Lord has a solution for it in the Word. So we need to study them and know how to apply them in our lives. And the book of Proverbs is one of them. It's a book which is a collection of practical life. Wisdom is given from this book. And they are in short terms, so it's easier to understand them and to apply them in our lives. So, in the morning, we looked at the evangelistic side of Proverbs, and we saw how the contrast between the believer and the unbeliever. From time to time, when you get the opportunity, looking at this special book, this prophet, and pick up some things that will be helpful to us. And this is the beginning of it, leading effective Christian life. We know that this book, as I said in the morning, was written by Solomon. Even though when you go through all of them, you can see that majority was by Solomon. But then there are a few that points to a few other people. There's a man called Agur, A-G-U-R, who also, according to the book, wrote a certain part of it. Later on, we'll talk about that. And then another man called Lemuel, who also wrote a bit of it. But principally, majority of them were written by Solomon. And why am I talking about this book? Why is it so important? It is very, very unique, this book of Proverbs, because like I said, it's a collection of individual statements, you know, from people and from their experience. As I said, Solomon is the principal author, and then two other people. Why is it so unique? It is unique in its theology, because it is concerned with practical life wisdom, more than the other biblical areas where you talk about the ideas about God and then the work of salvation. This is unique because it talks about practical life wisdom, how to live as a Christian, as a godly person, how to live and how to apply the scriptures in every aspect of your life, whatever trouble that you go to. The next thing is why it is unique is because of its connection. If you study Proverbs and other books, you realize that there were some other literatures at the time of at the Old Testament time, those in the neighboring kingdoms who also had their own wise sayings, and many of them were like similar to what Solomon and the other two people wrote their writings. So Proverbs, you see, like Psalms, like I said, it names other individuals as the authors and of the various sections. This Solomon, as we said in the morning, is the wisest man. The Bible refers to him as the wisest man that ever lived. Why? In 1 Kings chapter 3, if you go to read from verse 5 to 9, we saw how Solomon prayed to God for wisdom. Solomon had become a king. God had appointed him to be a king of Israel over so many people and very prominent people. And during his reign, he requested God to grant him wisdom, to be able to lead his people. God gave him the opportunity to ask for whatever he wants. And Solomon asked for wisdom. Did God give him the wisdom? Yes. God gave it to him according to 1 Kings chapter 4 from verse 29 to 31. God gave him the wisdom. So as he has identified himself as the author of this book, we need to pay attention to it. His name appears from the beginning and throughout, from 1 to 1, 10 verse 1, 25 verse 1, all of them, his name appears there. It is only from 22 verse 17 and other areas where, like I said, you see other people's name appearing, which shows that they also contributed to this book. And why should God allow men of such nature to advise us? Because he knows we are in a world of uncertainty. We are living in a world of evil, where there will be so many times of distress, times of trouble. But in all of them, what do? We refer to the Bible and to our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, if you go to verse 30, verse 1, they talk about this man, A-G-U-R, as the writer of that. And then the Lemuel from 31 and verse 1, as they are also, even though much is not said about these people, they contributed to this wise saying. But friends, you may ask, why is this book so important? Why am I singling out, even though all the books of the Bible are important, why am I saying that Proverbs is so unique and very, very important? The answer is that this book accomplishes something that other biblical books does not accomplish. Because it compiles numerous short instructions for living in this world. It is what God has, through Solomon, has compiled for us as a way of living in this world. The authors, Solomon, Lemuel, or other, anyone that you see them, they recognize that we have varied or different circumstances in this world. And then they look at that and provide the principles to apply in a variety of ways. So that whatever you go through, whatever situation you be, if you refer to the scriptures, there will be a way of addressing that problem. When you happen to be in a state where you have nowhere to turn to, who do you go to? You ask God for wisdom and direction to be able to go through. And that's what these people have done. They have recognized that men, as we live in this world, will have varied or different circumstances. And then they have provided principles to apply in a variety of situations. Every situation that you go through, there is a solution in the scriptures. And these are the instructions to follow. And then it also states, from the beginning, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And what is the fear of the Lord? Let's come and see what Solomon means when he said the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge, in chapter 1, verse 7. And here he refers to one, our viewing God, viewing him as we respect that he is there. Seeing God as he is, with all his attributes, and then giving him the respect that he deserves. When you say the fear of God is not the fear like terror, but it's talking about giving him the respect that he due and he deserves. Look at him, the creator. If you look at creation, you see the wisdom that God used in creation. And giving him that respect that he deserves is what fearing the Lord means. The second meaning is that we are living our lives in light of what we know of him. What we know of him, what he has revealed to us, applying that in our lives. Living our lives in the light of what he has shown us, what he has revealed. You know, the Bible is a revealed word, revealed to us. And that is how we must live on. So when we say you fear God, you fear him first by viewing him with the respect that he deserves. And then secondly, living our life in the light of what we know of him, what we have studied of him, what he has revealed to us in the scriptures, living our lives according to that light. And then holding him in the highest estimation, holding God in the highest, there's nothing that can be compared to God. As a believer, you have to hold God in a very high estimation. As I've already said, he is the creator, he is the sustainer. If you go back to history, all what he has done to our forefathers was there for us to know him, who he is, and then hold him in that highest estimation. Remember creation. He said and it was done. He said and it was done. And he said all was good. And even when things went bad, he has made a way for us to regain our lost image. Look at his position. He's the omniscient. He's the omnipotent. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Look at all these things and then hold him in that high estimation. And the fourth thing to note about fearing God is depending on him with a humble trust. Depending on God, upon God with a humble trust. When we say humble trust, you are trusting him humbly. Knowing this afternoon when we were teaching our Sunday school children, we saw this woman, Lydia. Before he became a believer, he was a rich person, a clever person, and he was a boss. When he became a believer, he saw that he was a poor person. He didn't have anything. Even though he was a purple sailor, he was a very rich person, he saw himself as a poor person, and he saw himself as a foolish person, and then as a servant. You can imagine, look at the contrast. Somebody who was a boss now see herself as a servant. And this is how we have to look up to God. We depend on him with humble heart, humble trust, humbly trusting that there's nothing in you, there's nothing good in you. Your trust and your hope is only in him. And knowing that he can see you through every situation. It's only doing this. That's what Proverbs is teaching us. It's only doing this that we will discover knowledge and wisdom. It's only applying these principles in our lives that will discover knowledge and wisdom. So in Proverbs, Solomon was hoping that his readers will attain practical righteousness in all things, and that we will do this by living our lives under the authority and direction of God, leaving everything in his hands and obeying him wholeheartedly, not trusting in anything of ourselves. This is how to fear God. And it's only when you fear him like this that you gain wisdom and understanding. This is exactly what Proverbs is talking about. In verses 2 to 6, you see that he explains the purpose of the book. If you go to there, you see that he explains the purpose of the book. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So you see, to understand a proverb and interpretation, the words of the wise and the adaptive. This is the purpose of proverbs. So he's focusing on imparting understanding that will impact every aspect of our life. That's the purpose of the book. Imparting understanding that will impart knowledge and into every aspect of our life. And if you look at them, much of them is talking about listening to others, listening to wise sayings from your parents, from God, and from people who have gone through experience. Job, people like Job, listening to them. That's what the book, the purpose of the book is. He wants us to listen to others who have been through life to avoid certain things that need to be looked at. Our parents, our elders, and to the circumstances of our lives. If you look at verse 5, you say, a man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And then verse 8, he says, my son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So you see, wisdom involves appropriating a measure of humility, first before God and also before others. You must be humble before God and before others, especially those who have been through life and who can impart knowledge unto you. That's the purpose of the book. And in verses 12 to 15, he has a warning for us. If you ignore this wise saying of God and people who have been through experience, there is a warning for you. Because in verses 12 to 15, he says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. Then in verse 13, verse 8, he says, he that has his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wise his lips shall have destruction. If you are very careful about what you say to other people, he's saying that you have a wise counsel. But if you open your mouth wide, if you become a busybody in other people's affairs, then you shall have destruction. It's a wise saying, very powerful instruction, that if you want to have a good life, keep your mouth shut. It's not everything that you have to say. There are things that you have to just look at, but don't be busy in other people's affairs. So now, having known the purpose, the author of the book, the purpose of the book, which is to get wisdom to apply in every situation that we go through. Now let's see how we can apply this. How did you apply it? Basically, what Solomon is saying is that read it and then leave it. Two things: read it and then leave it. Don't just read and then leave it. Live like what it tells you. If you don't read, how can you understand? And if you understand and you don't live it, how will you be effective in your life? That is what he's saying. You have to read it and then apply it. It reminds us that God concerns himself not just with the big issues in our life, even the minute things in our life, God is so concerned. There's a book by Dr. Masters about guidance. It's a very good book that we have some here. We should be reading, that every decision, every major step you take, even minute ones too, you have to seek God's direction. Otherwise, you will go wrong. And this is exactly the same thing, the same point that Proverbs is referring us to now. God reminds us that he is concerned, not just with the big things in our life, but every aspect of our life, he's concerned. He has saved us, and we are his people. He has to look unto us. He has to help us in our sanctification until we get to him. So he has made a way that we will be able to live the life that he wants us to live. So friends, are you following God even in those minute things in your life? Are you trusting him, looking up to him for every moment of your life? If you are not, then this is the time to apply it. Seek for wisdom to be able to apply this in your life. One commentator called William Arnold, he defines Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and this is what he said. He said they are laws from heaven for life on earth. Laws from the Almighty Himself for our life here on earth. This is how we should live. That's what Proverbs is telling us. This is how we should live to be able to have effective Christian life. Apply the principles of Proverbs, of wisdom, of understanding. So you see that the very first chapter as we just read gives us the perfect follow. It says wisdom and understanding. So it means to be wise, ask God for wisdom. If you want to be wise, ask God for wisdom. Who do you ask more than God? You know how Solomon asked God for wisdom and God gave him that wisdom. How do we know? Later on we see how the people of Israel describe Solomon. When the issue between the two women over one child came and they have to go to him for advice. And the advice he gave, he said, they should cut the child into two. This is wisdom, knowing that the true mother will never allow the child to be cut into two. So he said, let's cut the child into two so that everyone will take a part. Then the true owner of the child said, okay, then if that is the case, then take the child. Then Solomon said, this is the owner of the child. This is wisdom. God had given him the wisdom. And the whole Israel were so happy about Solomon and his wisdom. People came from different countries, different parts of the world to learn about his wisdom. So to be able to grasp the book of Proverbs, you have to understand this thing that he said here. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So to be wise, you have to ask God, as Solomon did. And he became the wisest king that ever lived. So he, because of the wisdom given him, had become the most fitting person to have written this book. Because he was given a special gift of insight and knowledge by God in answer to a very specific prayer as one to pray. If God should give you the opportunity now, what will you ask him? If God says, what shall I give you? And this is the question he asked Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 5. Say, what shall I give you? And I'm sure when we read things like this, all of us will become alarmed. So if God should ask me that question, what will I answer him? I'm sure if you go to so many churches today, and even so many Christians, if God should ask them one thing that they should ask for, I'm sure many, many people will ask for worldly things. But look at Solomon said, give me wisdom to be able to lead the people that you have given me. So how will you answer if God spoke to you as he did to Solomon? Ask whatever you want and I will give you. And Solomon said, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? See, God has given the people, great people, to rule. He was a little boy, so he said, all that I need is wisdom to be able to judge these people that God has given me. And according to the Bible, as I said, God was pleased that Solomon had asked of this. And in verse 11 to 12, the Lord replied, and he said, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemy, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. You see, God said, once you have asked for wisdom, not for worldly things, not even to pray against our enemies, because there were enemies that Solomon would have said, let my enemies die. As we hear some people pray these days, he asked for wisdom. Wisdom is the solution to every problem. If you are wise, there's no problem that will overcome you. You'll be able to solve every problem. And we saw how Solomon solved that problem. And then God said he will, because of that, he will give him that and even many more things that he did not ask for. And let's see how the people of Israel saw him in verse 28. He said, all Israel heard of the righteous judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. See, after he had judged between the two ladies, now they feared him and they respected him. So God gave Solomon wisdom and a very great insight and a breadth of understanding. And he said, no one throughout the whole world will be as wise as him, as we have learned earlier on. And he was so great that even men of the east and greater men, all wisdom of Egypt, people of the, they all came to him to ask him for wisdom. We know about the queen mother who came to ask Solomon for wisdom. And we know about Solomon, apart from this, because of the wisdom that God gave him, we learned that his sons were about 1,005. And like I said, men of all the people came to listen to his wisdom, and sent by all the kings of this world who had heard of his wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 to 34 talks about all the people who came to him to learn wisdom. The queen of Sheba, as I said, heard about, and this was a very, very famous queen, very powerful queen. He heard about the fame of Solomon, and then he came with his entourage to come and ask him questions. And when he came with a great caravan. She came to Solomon and talked with him about all that he had on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king. He asked very, very difficult questions, but Solomon was able to answer all of them. So now the woman was overwhelmed. According to 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, he was overwhelmed. He was surprised at the wisdom of David. And here, like I said, maybe if you have time, read 1 Kings and you see all that went on all day. So, it's a privilege that God is giving to us now. We should ask Him for wisdom and He will give us. It's an opportunity to ask God for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abraded not, and it shall be given him. So God is using the same invitation to us now, the one that he gave to Solomon, because we are also become like Solomon. We are becoming rulers of people. Even though we are not kings, according to Peter, we are a kingdom of priests. So we are also ruling people. So we need wisdom in our families, in our churches. We need wisdom to live in this world. With wisdom, you can live a decent life in this world of indecency. So is that one of your prayer requests? Is that one of your endless prayers when you come before God to ask for wisdom? In the Bible, there are two places where it talks about God, people asking for God. Say, teach me your way. Especially if you go to the psalm that we just read. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. We have enemies as Christians, so we need God to give us wisdom. So here, the psalmist prays for wisdom that God to teach him his way. If you go to Psalm 86, verse 11, he talks about the same thing. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He also asked for wisdom, for God to teach him his way. And this is King David. And this is one of the most important things that this special offer is about. Because James is saying that if you lack wisdom, ask God. Then the same James, when he goes to chapter 2, verse 4, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, as I said in the morning, when you come to be with the Lord and He allows you to go through a problem, as He said here, He says, if you are in a problem, count it all joy. Because unless you are going through the problem by your own stupid things that you have done, or by your own sin, even that, if only you are trusting humbly in God, He says, count it all joy. Because God will use it. That's why He's saying that let patience have her perfect work. You must be patient. You can imagine going through a problem that you can do nothing about. What do? You just stay and look up to God. And you have to be patient because you can't do anything. You wait for God until the solution comes. As it happened to our people when they were going from Egypt, when they came by the Red Sea, they had to just stand still. God said, if you just stand still and watch Him, they could not rush to go or to do anything, but they just have to watch Him. And that is what it is. When you go through a problem, God is making you to learn patience. You must learn patience because you need it in this life. And then that will make you perfect and entire, like whole, well equipped for the work of God. You need patience. So God can allow you to go through problems so that you learn patience. So James here is saying that in times of difficulty, when you don't know how to handle things, we should ask God for wisdom. It is only through wisdom that you can deal with all life's problems. So when you go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says we should not lean on our own understanding. We should never lean on our own understanding. No matter what we are going through, don't lean on your understanding. Why are we not supposed to do that? Because if we do, we will make mistakes. If you are trying to solve your problem in your own way, you will make mistakes and you will fall into serious problems. So God wants us to seek His wisdom, and we have just as much access to it in prayer as Solomon did. Solomon asked for and it was given him. And what about us? We can also ask for in our prayers and it will be given to us. So how do we do this? Practically, how do we do this? To be wise, as I said, study the scriptures. So search the scriptures. To be wise, search the scriptures. Solomon in verse 1 tells us that the importance of asking God for wisdom. He says, the next step, as he said in verse 2 to 6, so that God answers the prayer largely. Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him all the other things that he didn't ask for. So as he's saying here, if you are going through any situation, ask God for wisdom, and God will see you through, and then He will give you even things that you did not even ask for, because you have sought your advice and your counsel from God. Now, let's see the benefits of this proverb. First, it says, so that we will live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going to. If you apply what the wisdom will do for you is to know how to live well and right, and to understand what life means. That's what he said in chapter 1, verse 2. The next thing that he said in the same chapter 1, verse 2 is that an ordinary person can learn to be smart if only you apply for wisdom from God. The third thing that he said is that to grasp wisdom and discipline. If you apply this into your life, you get wisdom and then discipline. And then acquiring a prudent and a disciplined life. When we say prudent, it's a wise way of living, and then a disciplined life. You become disciplined, according to chapter 1, verse 3. You see, he says all these things for us to see the benefits of this wisdom. If you come to chapter 1, verse 3 again, he says to live intelligently. We must live intelligently above others. And then to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. The young people, by applying wisdom to their life, according to chapter 1, verse 4, they will also live intelligently, because their inexperience in life, it is easy. The young people today are looking up to stars and whatever. Wisdom is found in the book of God. He is the source of wisdom. And once we start bringing our children up in a godly way, when they apply it in their life, they will be smart people. And then, let me quote another writer. He's called Gotthard. He's an American evangelist. He defined wisdom as seeing life from God's point of view. Seeing life from God's point of view. Not from your point of view, but from God's point of view. And then he went on to emphasize the importance of scripture memory. If you always read your Bible and you memorize them, you'll be able to apply them when the time comes. He said that meditation is the practice of memorizing, visualizing, and personalizing scripture. And as we faithfully memorize and meditate on scripture, the Holy Spirit will gradually remold our minds until we see things and evaluate life increasingly from God's point of view. And that's the very essence of wisdom. You see, as you keep on memorizing the word of God, visualizing it, and applying them in your life, then the Holy Spirit will help you. Remember, he is the author of the book. So he will help you, and then you see the very essence of wisdom, the seeing things from God's perspective. And that's why the first 9 chapters of Proverbs is essentially about the importance of wisdom and the procedure for acquiring it. Why is it important? We have talked about it. And how do we acquire it? Ask God in prayer. Then from verses 8 to 9, he said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chain about thy neck." So it's not like Solomon is just talking to his son. It is God speaking to us. As I said, the scriptures were inspired by God. So whatever Solomon is saying here, God is saying to us as his children. Say, we should hear the instructions of our father. Who is our father? It's God. And then once we apply it, we'll be able to have intelligent life and see life from God's point of view. He goes on from verse 7 to 11, 8 to 1. All of them, they are all talking about wisdom. And the amazing thing is that the actual Proverbs section of this Proverbs doesn't really begin until you get to chapter 10, when it says the Proverbs of Solomon. There are so many things to learn from, friends. The first 9 chapters are images and arguments telling us how vitally important it is to seek God's wisdom. As one writer says, it is by drinking in the well, like dehydrated shipwreck victims who discover a fresh water spring on their deserted island. If you always go to the well as somebody who is starving for the well, you are dehydrated. As somebody who has been delivered from a shipwreck and needing water, if that's how you apply it, then you see things in the perspective of God, how God views things, and then you apply it in your life. Now, as I said, God is giving us the same opportunity in our time to ask for wisdom. In our time, it is not Solomon, it is Jesus Christ himself. Because the Bible says he has become our wisdom. Christ has become our wisdom. And when we read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said, "We are being transformed by the renewing of our mind." Being transformed into what? To the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So our thinking is molded by the word of God that dwells in us richly, and we grow in wisdom. So, out of the biblically sanctioned wisdom comes the ability to do right things and say the right words and make the right decisions, the right choices, of this life. And you can only do this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has become our wisdom, who has become our righteousness. So in the same way as Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave him, James is saying that if you lack wisdom, ask and it will be given you. Pray and it will be given you. Now, we all know how our computer chips work today. More information being kept. But one writer said that our computer chip can today contain more information than the ancient library of Alexandria. We now award doctorate degrees in areas of data processing and information management. But our wisdom hasn't kept up with our intelligence. We live in a world of foolish behavior, foolish arguments, foolish trivia, foolish investment, and foolish words. It isn't innocent foolishness. It can ruin our lives. You see, if you apply the wisdom of this world, let's see, with the advancement in technology, what has it led up to? Let's look at how our monies are invested. People in authority, how they use our money. Look at how much they are spending in wars. If you think of what goes on there, all the Western world, the arms they are giving to Ukraine, what Russia people are, if you value them, it can feed the whole world for years. And yes, look at what it is being used for. To kill innocent people. Is that wisdom? I don't think we can say that is wisdom. Stupid investment. That is what this man is saying here. Things that will not benefit us. Instead of applying true wisdom, seeing life from the perspective of God, our life now is turned into foolish things, foolish arguments, foolish trivia, foolish investments, and foolish words. And this is not innocent foolishness. It can ruin our lives. So we are in a world of technological advancement, and yet morality, wickedness is on the increase. All because we are not applying the wisdom that comes from God. The Christian is supposed to apply for wisdom that comes from God. And he said, be not wise in your own eyes. Why is he saying that? When he said, be not wise in your own eyes, and then fear God and turn away from evil. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. That is what I'm going to use to bring our topic to completion this evening. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So when he says be not wise, it means be hungry. Hunger for wisdom. And then fear. Fear God. Talking about humility. To humble yourself. And turn away from evil. It's talking about holiness. So these three things are the things that you need in your life to apply this wisdom. So these three points is the context of wisdom. Wisdom is hungry. Wisdom is humble. Wisdom is holiness. And I believe there's only one path to get there. A personal worship habit with God through his word. It's a holy habit which is necessary and vital for our work with God. You need these things to be able to work with God and to apply the wisdom in your life. So when you say wisdom is hungry, you see what he says? He says, do not be wise. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise according to your own understanding, but see it from the viewpoint of God. So it is the goal and everlasting fruit of our Christian life, this wisdom. That is the goal. That is the everlasting fruit of our life with God. So we have to hunger for it. Wisdom is hungry. Wisdom is hungering for the word of God and applying it in your life. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says that Jesus, when he was a boy, he grew in wisdom and stature before God and man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we don't grow in wisdom by being wise in our own understanding or in our own eyes, but we grow. We can grow. And it should be evident that people should also see our wisdom. Here, Christ was seen both in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men, his wisdom. Remember, the goal is wisdom. While children hunger for it, and we believe that by obtaining this, you will lead a life of holiness, a life of righteousness. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. You see, so how do we get wisdom? By building our lives upon Christ. Because he is the one that our minds are being remolded to look like. So to search diligently for wisdom, to hunger for it, to ask God, are you asking God for it? Are you asking how you can build your house on the rock? Are you praying for it? Chapter 8, verse 17 of Proverbs says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. He loves those who love him, and those who seek him early shall find him. So Christians are hungry. They don't want to stay where they are. They want to grow. So they must be hungry for the word of God. They must be hungry for the word of God, and then they will grow. Our own Christ disciples said, increase our faith. They prayed to Christ to increase their faith. And John the Baptist also said, may you increase, and may I decrease. See, talking about Christ and them. So do you pray? Are you asking God for wisdom? Are you hungering for wisdom? Are you thirsting for wisdom so that you live life that befits the Christian? Remember he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. James 1 verse 5. And the God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Are you asking for God to give you this wisdom so that you can see through your problems and apply them in whatever situation you go through, or you are trying to solve things in your own way? Remember, he said, if you do it, you will make mistakes. Nobody can on their own be able to apply this in our life. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 also says that, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. See, we must grow. And how do we grow? We grow through the word of God. We don't have to be wise in our own eyes. That will keep you from wisdom. That will keep you from understanding. And in the end, you will lose it. You will lose all the blessings. Now, wisdom is also humble, as I have said. Now, look, I will say, fearing God. It is only when you fear God that you get this wisdom and the understanding. So, we have talked about being hungry. Now, let's look at being humble. You can also define wisdom this way. The fear of God in action. You see, that is wisdom. Putting the fear of God in action. And or apply it with humility. Because if you don't apply humility by looking at God, trusting him humbly, you can never receive this wisdom. So you need to be hungering for the word of God. You need to also be humble. Take away pride and come to God as you are. James verse 12, 1 verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engraved word which is able to save your soul. So as you read through the Proverbs, I'll ask you to read it a day and then evaluate yourself from what you are reading and then applying them to your life. The third point is wisdom is holy. The text says that turn away from evil. Turning away from evil means living a life of holiness. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face. So you see how Christ said that if you hear my word and you don't use it, you will be like the person who built his house on the sand, and you will fail. If you hear it and you apply it, you use it, then you are building your house on the rock. When the time comes, your house will stand. So friends, this is our point for tonight. Wisdom for Christian living. You need wisdom to apply to every aspect of your life. You don't need to go to anybody, you don't need to go to any pastor, any prophet, anywhere. Apply the wisdom that is in the word of God, and the Lord will see you through. Friends, let's see the one that he gave in Proverbs 16 verse 19. He says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. If you lack humility, then pride takes over. And he said, you will fall. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil, we saw how he used the word of God humbly. And then he was able to defeat Satan. And that is a lesson for us. And it's the same thing Proverbs is telling us, Solomon is telling us. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Christ is wiser than Solomon. So we have Christ. What are we asking Christ to give us? Solomon asked God for wisdom. God gave him, and he became the wisest man that ever lived. He was able to judge things rightly, was able to lead his people in discernment. We have Christ as our wisdom, as our righteousness. Are we asking him for wisdom? Are we praying for God to give us this wisdom? With that wisdom, we can never live lives of effective Christianity. So friends, let's bear it in mind to be able to live a life of effective Christian living. We need the wisdom of God. And wisdom is to be hungered for. Wisdom is to be had in humility. Wisdom is to be had in holiness. These are the words of God to our heart this evening. We thank him and we pray that we'll be able to apply these things in our lives.